Oh. Today is the 23rd of April. So we'll have, tonight we're going to finish chapter 6 in one class, because it's mainly verse, there's not many purport in this chapter. Then, next Monday, we will have an overview of chapters 1 to 6 of the 6th canto. And then the following Monday, what's the date of the following Monday?
7th.
Okay. So then on the 7th, we will have the closed book exam. So that means today's the 23rd. So that means next week, your open book exams are due. And you should have your oral presentations already complete also by next week. Have they done any oral presentations yet? Probably not. There's none done. Okay. So then, Nurly and Asif, both, they're not here, so. Are you two marking exams also? You are?
Okay. One can get it. Two finish. One more to go.
Okay, so then, I'll just speak to Nurly and Asif. They weren't here last week, either. They were. They both went in last. Merle's not feeling well, but I don't know where his seat is. Okay, so that means hypothetically by next week, everything open book exams should be finished. They're not, yeah. So your open book exams, I'll give you until the 7th. Is that reasonable? They should be handed in by the 7th, the open book exams. The closed book exam will be on the 7th, and your open book exams are also due by the 7th. If you don't have them ready by then I cannot accept them. I'm getting old now, so I can't deal with the lateness, so you have to have them on time. So I'll give you two more weeks like that. And then we'll have to speak to them about getting the oral presentations done also. Okay, so tonight we'll go through chapter 6. Chapter 4, we heard about Daksha populating the universe. He did austerities. He offered the Hamsaguya prayers. Lord Vishnu came, gave him a suitable wife, and then he populated the universe. Then, in the previous chapter, in chapter 5, we heard that he had 10,000 sons. And then after that, 1,000 sons. He set them off to do austerities, and Narada converted all of them to become brahmacharis. So they all left home. So tonight we'll finish chapter 6, because there's very few purports in chapter 6, so we'll just practically read through it. Tonight there'll just be a lot of reading, basically. We'll make some comments, and you can ask questions if you feel there's anything you need to know. And then tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 7, and then next Monday we'll do an overview of the entire section, Ajamil and Daksha. And then, the following Monday will be the closed book exam. So, any points?
So we'll be starting chapter 7 tomorrow, is it?
Very tomorrow.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question, Guruji?
Yes, Mataji.
See, about the benediction of Lord Vishnu to Daksha. The translation, it said, after you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage like you in sexual intercourse. But because my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentations in devotion. So, I mean, my question is that this is a benediction by Lord to Daksha. But Naraji and send all the sons away. Naraji didn't want them to be engaged in the family life. So is it against the benediction of the Lord?
No, because Narada is an intimate devotee of the Lord. So he understands Krishna's higher purpose. So he is satisfying the Lord's more intimate desire. The Lord is offering a benediction to Daksha according to Daksha's desire and his position. So obviously he would prefer for Daksha just to go back to Godhead. But because he has material desires, then he is satisfying those desires with his benediction.
So Narada didn't do anything against the benediction?
No, Narada didn't, because he understands the Lord's desire.
Oh, okay.
Right, that's all.
And the other question was, when in the previous life, Daksha was the son of Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma, because he was so exalted, so Lord Brahma wanted him to, made him the Prajapati, and he wanted to populate the universe, right?
Yep.
So it was the order of Brahma, isn't it? That he was following even in the next life?
Yeah.
Not the Lord's order, it was the Brahma's order, right?
And the Lord's desire. The Lord desires for the universe to be populated. So.
Yeah, but the order was originally from Brahma.
Originally it's from God, and then secondly it is from Brahma.
Yeah. Well, nobody can do anything against it. Yeah, Lord's sanction has to be there in everything.
Now you've understood the entire Bhagavatam.
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Your study is complete.
Thank you.
And you only got to the 6 cantos, that's very good.
Okay.
Okay. In the Hamsa Goya prayers, it is mentioned that Daksha created the demigods and the animals. Now, I missed that part, so you might have already discussed that probably. But I was wondering then, what is the creation which Brahma does? How different is the Visarga of Brahma with respect to the Visarga of Daksha?
Brahma, he gives the blueprint for the universe to his sons, the Prajapatis, and then they populate the universe on his behalf. So it's under his instruction, under his guidance, his order, like that. So he produces them, and they produce more generations, and then the universe becomes populated. So.
So is it the same what we studied in the third canto, when we studied the creation process? Because at that time, Daksha was not there. So that's why I was confused.
I think that Daksha is mentioned.
Said that Brahma created the demigods and then...
No, I think there's a mention of sages being created.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, the sages. Yes, yes, and I think Daksha's name, I think Daksha is mentioned. Okay. Pretty sure he's mentioned.
I love it.
Yeah. But that's the basic. They're Prajapatis. So Prajapatis, they're assistants, and they are the descendants of Brahma. That's basically it. So we're going to have the closed book exam 2 weeks today. Not next week, but the following week. And the open book exams are due 2 weeks today. Not next Monday, but the following. And the oral presentations are due 2 weeks from today. You happy with that? Can you speak to Melanie?
Oh, he's not in today? Yeah, okay.
Can you speak to him? And can you ask him to be happy with that also? And let me know if he's not happy with that.
I think he should be happy.
I hope he's happy. I want everyone in the class to be happy. So. Yeah, just let me know, because we need to, I need everything in 2 weeks like that. I can't have everything coming in late. Okay, so any other questions or comments?
What is the duty of Prajapati apart from populating the universe?
Prajapati's duty is to populate the universe and then to teach religious principles. So one of the Prajapatis is?
Manu.
Manu. Manu is a Prajapati. Okay. So you see that Manu, he speaks the Manu Samhita, which is the instructions on how mankind should follow Dharma or religious principles to elevate their consciousness and to live according to Krishna's order within this material world. So that's the Prajapati's duty, to populate and then to instruct. Same as a Prajapati means a parent. So what does a parent do? A parent populates and then he instructs. So the same thing. Any other points?
See, I read that Daksha, and he did the austerity for era of one manu, fifth manu, the whole. So because he inserted Rakshava, just to, for that he did the austerity. So I'm just wondering what austerity did he do?
Not sure.
Because still he had to do the prayer again. So he did it after austerity of
Any other comments?
We should not insert any devotees.
Yeah, you can conclude that. Any other points? Okay, so we're going to do the entire chapter 6. Very few purports. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King, thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Daksha, who is known as Prachetasa, begot 60 daughters in the womb of his wife, Asikni. All the daughters were very affectionate toward their father." Ajay Prabhu, you want to read? Number one. Do you have the right book?
Yeah.
I don't think you have the right Bhagavatam. This is the next volume.
Oh,
I think so. Does anyone have the right? Yeah, you can read. Jumana.
After the incidents concerning the loss of his many sons, Daksha repented his misunderstanding with Narad Muni. Lord Brahma then saw Daksha and instructed him to beget children again. This time Daksha was very cautious to beget female children instead of male children so that Narad Muni would not disturb them by urging them to accept the renounced order. Females are not meant for the renounced order of life. They should be faithful to their good husbands. For if a husband is competent for liberation, his wife will also achieve liberation with him. As stated in the Shastra, the results of a husband's pious activities are shared by his wife. Therefore, a woman's duty is to be very chaste and faithful to her husband. Then, without separate endeavor, she will share in all the profit the husband earns.
Any points of interest?
So,
what did she say?
The wives didn't have to go and earn money. You just had to sit at home and do all the housework and look after the children. I wish that time comes back.
They were good days. Any other points?
What do we say we are responsible for our action and reaction? But here we see that someone else is actually being infected, although favorably, by the action of someone else. At least in that sense. And it's, the wife is benefiting here, which is good. But she's also being affected by somebody else's action. Rather, we are responsible for our own actions.
Yeah, except in the case of marriage, the wife gets benefits. So. We'll explain this point. Any other points?
A woman is not chaste and faithful to her husband, then there is a lot of unrest in the Vrindavan. The children, everything is affected. So it's very important that chastity is the most important ornament for a woman.
one gets married, if when they have a marriage ceremony, he says, said, what have a good karma man does? Why she has half of it? What karma good karma woman does, man doesn't get it. What a bad karma woman does, man gets half of it. Specifically mentioned. But when she cooks, she feels, you know, there will be some papa, you know, the man gets that half. But woman, any assertive you perform, any money you give away or charity, woman gets half of it. But if woman gives, man doesn't get half. That's what we have seen many marriages in India, that's what or Nukar Mukanda.
So which birth is better?
Well, in a woman birth.
Men doesn't know what a lady has to go through. Getting controversial.
Yeah, to step in role. Chest five creates auspiciousness within the family. And fully chest wife, according to the qualities of the chest wife, I think it's described in seven kinds of Bhagavad. She's as good as the manifestation of the goddess of fortune within the family.
Good. Any other points?
Sorry, I didn't
get that. Then if the wife is chaste, then it is as good as having the goddess of fortune within the family. Any other points?
I think the whole grahastha life depends on the women because she is always in the house and looking after the welfare of the children, husband and all. The wife is chaste and religious and according to the Krishna's instruction, then everything will go very smooth. Otherwise, they will not be very good. That's what I think.
Good point. Okay, so grihastha ashram is dependent upon the wife to be successful. Because if the wife is, as it says here, chaste, then the husband will be satisfied and he will become motivated. Because the husband is the generates the income, the economy, and he maintains the family, traditionally speaking, at least. So it is the wife's duty to keep the husband enthused. So she should be very chaste, very submissive, always smiling, always speaking sweet words, always worshipping the husband, throwing flower petals at his feet when he enters in the door. Like that. She should carry an umbrella over his head. I should get Veda Priya. I think she's upstairs with Mother Jagatarini. I should bring her down too. So, so this is the, it's actually the wife's responsibility to keep the husband enthused in maintaining the family. So it is the duty of the wife, and Prabhupada says actually, the men would be trained according to their varna in the traditional system. So they would get trained as Brahmana, as Kshatriya, as Vaishya, or as Shudra, like that. And the women, Prabhupada would say, regardless of the varna, they would be trained to be chaste and to be good cooks. Because these two things are the most important qualities for the woman. She must be very chaste, means very loyal to the husband, satisfy him and keep him motivated, and she must be a good cook to the best of her ability. So it means the husband will become attached to her. When the wife cooks very nicely, the husband becomes attached to the cooking. So it is necessary, even if she's not the best cook in the world. But still, if she's cooking for him regularly and doing her best and serving lovingly, then the husband becomes indebted and he becomes attached to the wife. So that is the system, that the wife actually, she controls the husband. Because the husband becomes controlled by a wife who is chaste
and who cooks very nicely with love and devotion. Then he becomes motivated. He will do so much austerity to satisfy and maintain the family. So psychologically, it is very important for the wife to keep the husband enthused and motivated. And actually, it discusses in different places in the Bhagavatam, particularly in the 9th canto, there will be a description of the qualities of Sita. So Sita is obviously the ideal wife. So when it describes the qualities of Sita Devi, it describes that she has many wonderful qualities which women should cultivate and desire to have. And then out of all of the qualities that the woman should have, which is the most important?
Shyness or chastity?
Which is the most important of all the qualities of the woman?
She should be subservient to the husband.
Subservient, chaste, faithful, like that. It's actually sweet speech. This is the most important quality for the wife. Sweet speech. If she has this quality, she will control the husband. She will control the husband. She will satisfy the husband. And if she doesn't speak sweetly, then the husband will not be satisfied. So this is actually the most important quality. Right, so keep writing, because I'm...
Because one of the sections people get is that as soon as they come from office, in 15 minutes the real thing.
Yeah. It says that most domestic arguments begin within 2 minutes of the husband entering the front door. Most of the domestic arguments, it only takes 2 minutes. You know, when the pleasantries are finished, then immediately the domestic arguments will begin within 2 minutes of one getting home. So if the woman can do it, and this is actually... Because in spiritual life, do you want me to start again, Yogi? I've got some good stuff going here. So. Okay, I'll repeat it for you, Marcus. You'll appreciate this stuff. So, you'll thank me for this lecture afterwards. So, actually, for the man and for the woman, it is necessary to perform tapasya. Or austerity, because marriage is hard work. It's not easy. What did Lord Brahma say? One of his sons got married and came back to him and said, "My dear father, it is so difficult." And Lord Brahma said, "You can't live with them and you can't live without them." Right? This saying is there.
Where is that?
Where is that?
Where is this saying?
That is on Brahma Loka. So he said, because you hear people say that these days, it actually comes from the original person in the universe, the first person. He said, you cannot live with them, and you can't live without them. Like that. That is the situation. Very difficult. So it is a matter of austerity. It's hard work to keep a marriage together. Right? I'm speaking from experience. Because I'm a very hard person to live with. My wife is very qualified. But I'm very unqualified. So it's not easy to live with another person. I'm not easy to live with like that. My wife is easier to live with than me. But it's hard work. It means the husband has to do a great amount of sacrifice. Right, to maintain a wife, to keep them happy, right, to please a wife, it is not easy. Right? And then the wife has to do a great amount of austerity and sacrifice to keep a husband satisfied. Right, there's a great amount of sacrifice. That's how marriage works. Marriages are only successful when we compromise. We make compromise, we make sacrifice, we do austerity. It's hard work to keep a marriage together. And you see the statistics. So many people, and you see even, you know, we all deal in our congregation now, there are marriages who are struggling. You know, the devotees I know at the moment who are struggling. My marriage sometimes struggles like that. It takes hard work to keep it together. So it means there has to be sacrifice. But the one thing that the women can do, which will, you could say, even work miracles in the relationship, right, if she just speaks sweetly, right, it will cause the marriage to be successful. It is guaranteed. Of all the qualities, of the woman, all the qualities, that is the most essential quality, sweet speech, right? And it requires austerity, because naturally we don't always like to do that. Just like I used to go on book distribution, and one time I was distributing a book, so there was one lady in the car park, and she was with her baby, and I went up to her and I gave her the book, and I was, you know, trying to sell her the book, and I said to her, she didn't look very happy. So I said, you don't look very happy today. And she said, of course I'm not happy. My husband's an idiot. Like that. So this is the situation, right? That sometimes it is difficult for the woman to tolerate the husband, because the husband, sometimes we do things which aren't logical. Men are not very logical. They're not very practical. You know, sometimes, you know, men just, they do things which are very strange. You know, men just have their conditioning. They tend to do things in a very strange way. And it tests the tolerance of the wife. It tests the tolerance of the woman. But this is the austerity the woman must perform. Even though the husband may be acting in a strange way, still, if she speaks sweetly, and it's an austerity, she will control him. And she will keep the house peaceful. And sometimes, because of our false ego, because everyone in the material world has Purusha Bhav. Women have Purusha Bhav, men have Purusha Bhav. We both have false ego. We like to be the dominant person. But if the wife can learn to overcome her false ego, sacrifice her false ego, and to speak very sweetly to the husband, even though it's difficult, and in the back of her mind, she might be thinking, this person is an idiot. Right? But still, out of austerity, right, she speaks sweetly to the person, right, then she will create a peaceful atmosphere within the house, and she will control the husband. Right? Because men are actually very easy to control. Men are very easy to control. You just cook them some nice food, and you just pat their egos a little bit, and they'll practically do anything. Right. You just say, oh, you're so wonderful and you're so good and you do so many nice things like that. And then you give them some nice prasad and then they'll do anything. Practically, they'll do anything like that. But this is how the system works, like that. So, Burujan Prabhu and Mother Jagatarini have been married for, let's see, I think it was 70, I think they've been married. So what's that? It's 40 plus years. So, you know, I've known Jagatarini Mataji and Burujan Prabhu for a long time. And they've told us over the years, they said, you know, in the beginning, you know, there was a lot of difficulty, you know, not getting along. Burujan Prabhu said, I spent 7 years just trying to change her. You know, change all the things I didn't like about her. So, you know, 7 years like that. And then he said, next 7 years, then there was more like just tolerance. Okay, I'm stuck with this person. I can't really do anything about it. So I'll just tolerate like that. And then they said a few years ago, I remember they said to us that it's only in the last, say, 7 years or so, or 10 years, or more recently, out of the 40 years, only in like the last 10 years, they say they're actually feeling like they're coming close as friends. Right? And developing a deep relationship and a deep respect for each other. So that is the best thing, actually. If you can learn to respect each other, and actually develop genuine affection for each other and actually love each other, then the relationship becomes very strong, right? And the wife is you can say, serving the husband, but with genuine affection, and the husband is looking after the wife and the family with genuine affection, it becomes very strong. Even though sometimes it's difficult and the false ego is there, but if it can become a genuine affection, it becomes very strong. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says, the relationship between the husband and the wife must be loving and affectionate. loving and affection. And Chanakya says, when it's like that, the goddess of fortune lives within the home. Everything becomes very auspicious, very peaceful. Chanakya always also says that when the husband and wife fight, it is just like clouds without lightning. You know, sometimes you see the clouds and they just make a sound. Right? So that is just the husband and wife. No one takes that seriously. That's just that sound. Comes at least once a day, that sound. Or if you're Gujarati, it may come a few more times a day. Just depends on the family. So that sound we don't take so seriously. But actually, if the husband and wife can learn to get along, everything can become very peaceful. So how to make the Grihastha ashram peaceful and successful? Srila Prabhupada says you have to put Krishna in the center. Krishna becomes the center of the consciousness. It means the deities become the center of the consciousness. It means in my house, if you come to the farm, I think some of you came to the farm recently. Did you see the sign outside of my house on the fence? Did anyone see the sign? Someone must have seen it. There's a little sign on it. It says, Sri Govardhan Seva Ashram. So when Giriraj, Sri Govardhan, is the center of our consciousness, for me and my wife, everything's very peaceful. But when one of us put ourselves in the center, then it becomes friction within the relationship. So this is the secret. The secret is you keep Krishna in the center, ultimately. Okay, so any further points on this nectar of Grihastha ashram?
Sometimes the children will also come in between. The fight is actually not between, oh, you are spoiling the child, no, I'm too much loving why you are doing that, you should chastise, that sort of fights. one parent will have soft corner, the other parent want to be strict to just like, you know, make them good. But the children apparently they like who will give more affection rather than chastisement. That's really unfair on the part of the child, but they don't know what is really good for them. But they take the side of the parent who will give more
I was actually speaking to a devotee just before I came for class. He's going to get married. He's not married yet, but he's engaged. He's going to get married. And he said, already there's so many problems. He said, now I'm writing my wedding list, and then if I don't invite this one, I don't invite that one. And he said, I'm not even married, and there's so many problems. I just said to him, this is Grihastha life. You know, you get married, before you get married, it's problematic. The day is problematic. Yeah, the marriage days, you know, so many things are going on, and so much anxiety, and like that. And then afterwards, then all the real fun really begins. I mean, you have your little six-month honeymoon, but then after that, then it all begins. So please enjoy it while you can. Hare Krishna. Sannyas ashram ki.
See, Prabhuji, I mean, with your talk like this here, that everybody is civilized, but in India, some of the ladies, they are treated as third-class citizens.
That's not good. What will they do? Well, that's not good.
So, really bad.
Yeah. So we have to preach and we have to spread Krishna consciousness so that women will be treated properly and men will be treated properly. And
yeah.
We have to change the world.
I mean, the thing is, they used to say that for clapping you need two hands, both hands. You can't clap with one hand. So the both have to adjust.
Yeah. Yeah, we just have to keep preaching. Try to make the world a better place. Any other points? Okay. So everyone took notes? Yeah. These questions might be on your exam, so. Okay. He gave 10 daughters in charity to Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, 13 to Kashyapa, first 12 and then one more. 27 to the moon god, and 2 each to Angira, Krishashwa, and Buddha. The other 4 daughters were given to Kashyapa. Thus Kashyapa received 17 daughters in all. Now please hear from me the names of all these daughters and their descendants who filled all the three worlds. Okay, so listen very carefully, because a lot of this will be on your exam. The 10 daughters given to Yamaraj were named Banu, Lamba, Kakud, Yami, Vishwa, Sajya, Marutwati, Vasu, Mahurta, and Sankalpa. Now hear the names of their sons. O king, a son named Deva Rishabha was born from the womb of Banu, and from him came a son named Indrasena. From the womb of Lamba came a son named Vidyota, who generated all the clouds. From the womb of Kakud came the son named Sankata, whose son was named Kikata. From Kikata came the demigods named Durga. From Yami came the son named Swaga, whose son was named Nandi. The sons of Vishwa were the Vishwadevas, who had no progeny. From the womb of Sajya came the Sajyas, who had a son named Arta Siti. The two sons who took birth from the womb of Marutwati were Marutwan and Jayanta. Jayanta, who is an expansion of Lord Vasudeva, is known as Upendra. The demigods named...
Jayanta, is he the son of Indra?
Upendra?
No, Jayanta.
Jayanta?
I think it's the name of...
Could be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Because, he's Indra's, King Indra's son is named Jayanta.
Yeah, it could be him, I'm not sure. The demigods named the Mahurtikas took birth from the womb of Mahurta. These demigods deliver the results of actions to the living entities of their respective times. The son of Sankalpa was known as Sankalpa, and from him lust was born. The sons of Vasu were known as the eight Vasus. Just hear their names from me. Adrona, Prana, Dhruva, Arka, Agni, Dosha, Vastu, and Vipavasu. From Abhimati, the wife of the Vasu named Drona, were generated the sons named Harsha, Shoka, Baya, and so on. Urjashwati, the wife of Prana, gave birth to three sons named Saha, Ayus, and Purojava. The wife of Dhruva was known as Dharani, and from her womb various cities took birth. From the womb of Vasana, the wife of Arka, came many sons, headed by Tarsha. Dara, the wife of the Vasu named Agni, gave birth to many sons, headed by Dravinaka. From Kritika, another wife of Agni, came the son named Skanda, Kartikeya, whose sons were headed by Vishaka. From the womb of Sharvari, the wife of the Vasu named Dosha, came the son named Shushuma, who was an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. From Angirasi, the wife of the Vasu named Vastu was born the great architect Vishwakarma. Vishwakarma became the husband of Akriti, from whom the Manu named Chakshusha was born. The sons of Manu were known as Vishwadevas and Sajas. So it mentions in the previous verse, there was a wife named, there was someone called Kritika, a another wife of Agni. So these 27, they were said they were given to Chandra, the moon god. So if you look in Vedic astrology, there are 27 nakshatras, which means 27 stars, like that. So these 27 stars are the 27 wives of the moon god. And you'll see that the moon, as he travels through 1 month, because it takes 1 month, 28 days, for the moon to go from Purnima around to Purnima again. So through those, that 1 month, he passes through those 27 nakshatras. So then in Vedic astrology, then we will see when someone is born, then we will see the moon will be next to one of these nakshatras. So then generally they say this person is born under the constellation of Kritika or Rohini or Revati or according to that. So this is how we measure them. Now it is said that of all the wives, it is mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, that Chandra was especially attached to one of the wives, whose name was Rohini, which was one of the stars. And then he was negligent towards the other 26. And because of that, then he was cursed by Daksha. And then he was losing strength. So that's one explanation of how the moon kind of goes through those phases. He loses the strength. So we say that the moon has the auspicious fortnight and then the dark fortnight. So from Purnima, when he goes down to Ashtami, which is like, you see the moon when it's completely in half, that's Ashtami at that time. So from that Ashtami, from that like half, sorry, back through to the Purnima and then down the other side, which means when the moon is once again waning or becoming full again, when it gets to the two Ashtamis, so that half of the fortnight is considered auspicious, you know, because the moon is bright. But then that other half, when he goes from Ashtami down to Amavasya, then from Amavasya back up to the next Ashtami when he's dark, that's considered to be more of a dark time. So it's considered very auspicious, that second half of the moon. So quite often you'll see when you look at the astrology, we'll look at all these different things. You'll see which nakshatra the moon is tenanting or is near. Is the mind, because the moon represents the mind in Vedic astrology, and also the mother. So when you look at the nakshatra, you'll see, is it near an auspicious nakshatra? Is the moon bright? Is it dark? So these are ways we can read the astrology according to these different things. All these things tie into the Vedas, the Vedic sciences. Like that, so.
Proven, it is saying it gave birth to many cities. What exactly does it mean?
I'm not sure. I would say it means that populated many cities. I would say. That would be my understanding for reading it. I'm not sure.
Siddhi, you said that they are the wives of moon god.
Yep.
But here they say the Kartli, another wife of Agni.
Kritika.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Agni and moon is different.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it works because it says that Kritika, because my moon, if you look at my astrology chart, it's actually next to this nakshatra called Kritika. And that star is ruled by Agni. So I'm not sure how it works, if Agni has something to do with it all. I'm not sure.
And the other thing is, the Chandra, the Kartikeya, I think he's the son of Narsimha.
Yeah, and here it says he's the son of Agni, so I don't know. I can't explain why it says like this. Usha, the wife of Vipavasu, gave birth to three sons, Vyushta, Rochisa, and Artapa. From Artapa came Panchayama, the span of day, who awakens all living entities to material activities. Sarupa, the wife of Bhuta, gave birth to 10 million Rudras, of whom the 11 principal Rudras were Raivata, Aja, Bhava, Bhima, Vama, Ugra, Vrishakapi, Ajay Kapat, Ahir, Bradna, and Bahu Rupa, and Mahan. Their associates, the ghosts and goblins, who are very fearful, were born of the other wife of Bhuta. Bhuta is Bhuta.
You mean the gross?
I don't know. Would have a wonderful. Prabhupada.
See, the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura comments that Bhuta had two wives. One of them, Sarupa, gave birth to the 11 Rudras, and the other wife gave birth to the associates of the Rudras, known as Ghost and Prabhupada.
Okay. Any comments?
These verses give a lot of faith in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Because no author would waste his time going into this kind of detail. Nobody can invent these names. Looks impossible that someone has actually scripted all these lineages, each and every name, whose wife was one, and still continued with that work. Gives more faith, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I find the same experience. Because if you read the Bible, it's also long lists of names like that, and if you read, say, some fiction, like say, like Lord of the Rings or Tolkien is Lord of the Rings, I'm trying to think of another, like Dune, there's some very, very good fiction books, even if you look at the Star Wars trilogy and these things, like very well written, very well thought out, you know, incredibly fertile imaginations. But I think when you compare it to something like the Bhagavatam, and the thing is with the Bhagavatam, when you get to learn a little bit, because when I was in the Govardhana retreat last year, and Madhavananda Prabhu was speaking, and then he was going through some of the pastimes of the pastime of Krishna defeating Kaliya, and then he was talking about the generations that happened before, and who Rohini, who was Balaram's mother, was in the previous birth. And he was saying there's some connection with Rohini in the previous birth being, I think, Kratu or something. I can't remember how he was explaining it. But then there was something to do with who she was in the previous birth, giving birth to Kaliya or something like that. So then when Balaram came down to, or something like that, Balaram stayed back. He didn't come to the Jamuna or something. Just all the intricacies. So it gives a great deal of faith when you see how intricate the whole pastimes are and how personalities are connected. And to me, it's just amazing that they could even, you know, comprehend these things. It doesn't seem that it's a human that could do that, you know, to connect all these things together. It's far too intricate how everything, you know, goes back. And then different Puranas and, you know, if you go to the Bhagavatam, then you go to other Puranas, and there's connections between the personalities. So it definitely generates faith in the audience.
Well, I read that Krishna and Balaram didn't go when he was in Kaliya, because you see, he's the his association.
Balaram did go, actually. I forgot the past time. Rohini didn't go. Rohini wasn't there, which was interesting because everyone else in Vrindavan went, but Rohini didn't go. So the Madhavananda Prabhu was explaining there was a reason why Rohini didn't go, something to do with their previous life. Balaram was there. Balaram was there. No, he was there because if you read the pastime, he was stopping everyone from jumping in the Jamuna. So Balaram was definitely there. So any other points?
What are hobgoblins?
Hobgoblins, have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Sorry?
Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Don't worry about it. But if you see it, then you'll see hobgoblins.
What did they do?
They're inauspicious creatures like that. And what do they do? They do inauspicious things.
Very recently, Karunanidhi Prabhu had sent a story about the ghost, how the holy name, you know. Mm. You can read that.
In Italy.
Yes.
I'll pass.
Prabhu, in the description of the Visarga, the Rudra is manifesting from the eyebrow of Brahma, and the Rudra is manifesting here. What's the difference?
No, I'm not sure. Seems like there's certain things being said here, like Mataji pointed out, then Kartikeya said to be being born from Agni, whereas my understanding is that he's born from Shiva. So there's things being said here that I don't fully understand. There probably would be an explanation. There's probably some historical fact, but it's beyond my ability to understand.
Any other points?
Okay. The Prajapati Angira had two wives named Swada and Sati. The wife named Swada accepted all the Pitas as her sons, and Sati accepted the Arta Van Girasa Veda as her son. Krishashwa had two wives named Archis and Dishana. In the wife named Archis, he begot Dhumaketu, and in Dishana, he begot four sons named Vedashira, Devala, Vayuna, and Manu. Kashyapa, who is also known as Taksha, had four wives, Vinita, Supana, Kadru, Patangi, and Yamini. Patangi gave birth to many kinds of birds, and Yamini gave birth to locusts. Vinata Supana gave birth to Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu. Is that okay? And to Anuru, or Aruna, the chariot driver of the sun god. Kadru gave birth to different varieties of serpents. So this is something to do with the pastime of Kaliya. Kadru is the mother of Kaliya. And there's something, I can't remember, Madhavananda Prabhu explains the whole, in the previous life, this one was this one, and this one was this one, and then, you know, when Krishna and Balaram came, and Kaliya was there, and there's some connection, and then we're all here. I can't remember all the details, but it's quite amazing when you hear how the whole thing interconnects previously. So.
It's quite inconceivable that they are having human forms, but they are giving birth to different species like this.
Yeah, but then you'll see that the demigods can change their forms. And you'll see it's in the Vedic scriptures, you'll see that, you know, like the Rakshasas, Ravana, you know, very common they would change their forms. And so the higher entities have all these abilities. They can change form at will, like that. So they can do this, they can progenate different species. And
locust means?
Locust is like a grasshopper.
Grasshopper.
Yeah, type of grasshopper. Mm-hmm. If you come to the farm, I'll show you. What's that?
Locust, you know, when he comes, he eats all the crops.
Yeah.
You know, there's a
plague.
A calamity.
Yeah.
The mother used to know she's from Java, there's a lot of locusts there.
Is that the green curve?
There's a lot of locusts in the
green
curve.
But is it the green color?
Yeah, green color, little brownish color. And if the green they become green, then they eat the cotton they become white. And they can eat, you know, amla as well, isn't it? Very tasty. they go through the crops and people become more, they know crops. The locust, in the second class, books in the world.
You know what they are?
I've seen one green one,
yeah.
Poppy.
That's a grasshopper, the green one which hops.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's a little, it's like a grasshopper. And they come, hundreds of thousands of them come, and they just eat everything like that. Okay. Or,
when the noobs used to come in India, you used to give them the thin thin to dry them away. You used to bang, 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 bang. They run away, but they will use millions of them. Where they sit, they will destroy the crops. And it was very famous in India. Looks, Arya, looks, Arya.
Okay. Is everyone satisfied? Okay. So are you boys sober once again? Amala, can you control yourself? Can you control yourself once again? So you'll see in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that sometimes when the Bhagavatam is read, the devotees, they have tears in their eyes. So either Amal's become very advanced or he's experiencing some lower rasa. One or the other. Or Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas. The constellations named Kritika were all wives of the moon god. However, because Prajapati Daksha had cursed him to suffer from a disease causing gradual destruction, the moon god could not beget children in any of his wives. Thereafter, the king of the moon pacified Prajapati Daksha with courteous words and thus regained the portions of light he had lost during his disease. Nevertheless, he could not beget children. The moon loses his shining power during the dark fortnight, and in the bright fortnight it is manifest again. O King Parikshit, now please hear from me the names of Kashyapa's wives, from whose wombs the population of the universe has come. They are the mothers of almost all the population of the entire universe, and their names are very auspicious to hear. They are Aditi, Diti, Danu, Kashta, Arishta, Surasa, Ila, Muni, Krodavasha, Tamra, Surabi, Sarama, and Timi. From the womb of Timi, all the aquatics took birth. And from the womb of Sarama, the ferocious animals, like the tigers and lions, took birth. So you know there's the biggest fish that lives in the ocean is called the? Timingila. Prabhupada says the fish is so big that it comes, and with one mouthful, it swallows a whale. Well, that big fish that live deep in the ocean, like that. So their mother is called Timi. And they're known as the Timingila. They're the biggest of the fish. Like that. My dear King Parikshit, from the womb of Surabhi, the buffalo, cow, and other animals with cloven hooves took birth. From the womb of Tamra, the eagles, vultures, and other large birds of prey took birth. And from the womb of Muni, the angels took birth. The sons born of Kroda Vasha were the serpents known as Danda Shuka, as well as other serpents and the mosquitoes. All the various creepers and trees were born from the womb of Ila. The Rakshasas, bad spirits, were born from the womb of Surasa. So you see, this was the birth of the mosquitoes. Prabhupada said they only have one purpose to exist. Now what is that? Yeah, to annoy you. That is their only purpose. They're just in this creation to disturb the mind. Adi, Baltic. Living entities that give you disturbance. Give malaria.
The hellish planets, they said that though they are the brighter, they don't know that they are doing that, so we should not feed them. They're insignificant creatures, they don't know that they are hurting others, so we should not feed them. In India especially.
No, we are good. deadly malaria called cerebral malaria. It kills the person.
True. Isn't it true demons are sons from Diti? Here he is.
These are different ones. There are many types. These are rakshasas, bad spirits, different things. These are not asuras. These are different creatures.
It's a prophecy. When did they conceive Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu? That time, after that, she got scared. And then she, and Kashyapu was telling her that your brother-in-law, I mean, he was saying about Lord Shiva, that he travels at night time.
Who is talking on the side?
Everywhere.
Why did you just make your point, because we need to finish. So.
Well, the thing is, how was Lord Shiva that brother-in-law?
That what?
Lord Shiva, the brother-in-law.
Of Diti.
Of Diti.
Not sure.
Because Daksha's other daughter was Shiva's wife, and that is why he was the brother of Diti.
So what's the question? I don't understand. I don't think it matters, whatever the question is, I don't think it matters.
This is another life, that was previous life.
How about you ask after the class?
Okay.
The Gandharvas were born from the womb of Arishta. The animals whose hooves are not split, such as the horse, were born from the womb of Kashta. O king, from the womb of Danu came 61 sons, of whom these 18 were very important. Dvimoda, Shambara, Arishta, Hayagriva, Vipavasu, Ayomukha, Shankushira, Swabanu, Kapila, Aruna, Puloma, Vrishaparva, Ekachakra, Anutapana, Dumrakesha, Virupaksha, Viprachiti, and Durjaya. So this is where the horse was born. So one time Prabhupada was on the morning walk, and he said to his disciples, which is the most beautiful of all the animals? And many of the devotees said, the cow, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, the cow is not beautiful. And he said, the horse is beautiful. So the horse is the most beautiful of all the creatures. Very beautiful. So this is where it is born. The daughter of Swabanu, named Suprabha, was married by Namuchi, the daughter of Vrishapava, named Samishta, was given to the powerful king Yayati, the son of Nahush. Vaibhanara. What?
No.
Many people have these names.
Okay.
It is not only that one.
Okay.
Like that, so. Vaivanara, the son of Danu, had four beautiful daughters named Upadanavi, Hayashira, Puloma, and Kalaka. Hiranyaksha married Upadanavi, and Kratu married Hayashira. Thereafter, at the request of Lord Brahma, Prajapati Kashyapa married Puloma and Kalaka. The other two daughters of Vaiswanara. From the wombs of these two wives of Kashyapa came 60,000 sons, headed by Nivatakavacha, who were known as Polomas, and the Kalakeyas. They were physically very strong and expert in fighting, and their aim was to disturb the sacrifices performed by the great sages. My dear king, when your grandfather, Arjuna, went to the heavenly planets, he alone killed all these demons. And thus King Indra became extremely affectionate toward him.
So this Prajapati Kashyapa is different from the original Kashyapa, because they are his descendants only. Then how he married his granddaughter or someone?
at the request of Brahma, it must be Kashyapa.
So then that is the granddaughter or something, because it's his lineage which is being described here with the different daughters of Daksha.
Is it?
And they said, no, now I will start describing the lineage of Kashyapa and all the daughters. It's very important.
Okay. I can't explain it like that. It could be like, I'm not sure. Not sure how it works. Okay. In his wife, Simhika, Viprachiti begot 101 sons, of whom the eldest is Rahu, and the others are the 100 Ketus. All of them attain positions in the influential planets. Now please hear me as I describe the descendants of Aditi in chronological order. In this dynasty, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, descended by his plenary expansion. The names of the sons of Aditi are as follows. Viraswan, Ayama, Pusha, Twashta, Savita, Bhaga, Data, Vidata, Varuna, Mitra, Shatru, and Urukrama. Samgya, the wife of Vivashwan, the sun god, gave birth to the Manu named Shraddhadev. And the same fortunate wife also gave birth to the twins Yamaraj and the river Jumuna. Then Yami, while wandering on the earth in the form of a mare, gave birth to the Ashwini Kumaras. Chaya, another wife of the sun god, begot two sons named Sanaishchara and Savarni Manu, and one daughter, Tapati, who married Samvarana. From the womb of Matrika, the wife of Aryama, were born many learned scholars. Among them, Lord Brahma created the human species, which are endowed with an aptitude for self-examination. Pusha had no sons. When Lord Shiva was angry at Daksha, Pusha had laughed at Lord Shiva and shown his teeth. Therefore, he lost his teeth and had to live by eating only ground flour. Rachana, the daughter of the Daichas, became the wife of Prajapati Twashta. By his seminar, he begot in her womb two very powerful sons named Sannivesh and Vishwarupa. Although Vishwarupa was the son of the daughter of their eternal enemies, the demons, the demigods accepted him as their priest in accordance with the order of Brahma, when they were abandoned by their spiritual master, Brihaspati, whom they had disrespected. Any questions or comments?
Is it true that all the demigods born from Aditi and all the demons born from Aditi?
Yeah, it says like that. Any other points? Okay, so tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 7. Next Monday we'll do an overview of chapters 1 to 6, and then the following Monday we will do the closed book exam, and then your open book exams will also be due. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.